Let's go to another topic now. One of the noteworthy aspects of the upcoming midterm elections is the number of progressive black candidates and women candidates running for office. They include gubernatorial nominees Andrew Gillum, Stacey Abrams, and Ben Jealous. And running for Congress, we have Ayanna Pressley and Alejandra Ocasio-Cortez. First, let's listen to a clip from Pressley's victory speech last week in Boston, in which she called out the Democrats and Republicans alike for promoting inequality.
And in fact, some of those policies were put in place while with Democrats in the White House and in control of our Congress. Policies that have become so ingrained in our daily lives as to have almost convinced ourselves that there wasn't anything we could do about them. But as we now know, change can't wait.
Change can't wait. Jared Ball, several of the candidates in their primary victories are being seen as significant upsets to the Democratic Party establishment. Is change on the way? How do you see it?
Well, the primary way I actually look at this is that because of the increasing sentiment demanding change in an increasingly unequal world, the powers that be, in this case the Democratic Party, is in some way allowing some form of itself to be reshaped to accommodate that sentiment and give it some release. But in the end, the party itself is designed to more or less protect the interests as they are now. So really, as I see it, not that there aren't some positives with these individuals and these races, is that, one, I don't see them emanating from an organized political radical movement or base that is sending them with a clear agenda, although they do seem to share a certain degree of policy agenda items in common that are generally welcomed and happily acceptable. But what that speaks to me is that they are going to be ultimately lost in the wilderness unless there is what we always end up needing, an organized, radical, political, social movement that's independent of any of these parties, that has a clear set of demands and a variety of tactics prepared to engage and have them met. So the first thing I thought of, one of the first things I thought of was when the late Helen Thomas said at the end of her life and at the end of her career, when asked that in her first press conference when President Obama was first elected, she asked him a basic question about the presence of nuclear weapons and occupation in the so-called Middle East. And when he gave his pat answer in defense of Israel, she said she knew that we did not have the change that many thought. That she said that was her test and he failed it. You know, so when I see, you know, Gillum, for instance, say he will not defend the BDS movement and that we, you know, that any movement that, you know, theoretically is an attack of Israel, blah, 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 blah. You know, that's just one suggestion to me that he isn't the progressive that he might be. And when, similarly, when Ocasio-Cortez writes that tome to the late John McCain, forgetting all of the... all that he has left this world to continue to deal with and all that he expressed in his sentiments to so-called people of color in the world majority that he stood by till the end of his life, to me it suggested that we don't have the kind of progressive change that we need. Not to mention that she and others are winning these races and regions that are particularly set up for those victories and that cannot be replicated nationally. And if I'm reading it correctly, and I may not be, I'm open to critique here, nationally, the Democratic Party is not really seeing that kind of progressive sea change, and where most of the incumbents did hold their seats.
Are there any candidates that you do cheer?
Cheer is a difficult term. I mean, you know, relatively speaking, when I look at what Ben Jealous is saying, look, it's hard to argue against somebody who's saying we want free college, we want the bare minimum $15 minimum wage, when really we should be arguing for about $25 an hour to make it, you know, what it should be for the 1970 equivalent. And when he's saying he wants to reformat criminal justice, I mean, it's hard to say you know we shouldn't vote for that. But what I'm more interested in is the ways in which these efforts are pulling many well-meaning people away from the very radical efforts that we need to be engaged in. And I just wanted to make one other quick point about that, because I see this as the Democratic Party equivalent to what venture capitalist Nick Hanauer was on NPR saying last year very, very openly, and has been, you know, on a sort of a tour trying to convince his class to hear him. And what he's saying is, as a staunch defender of capitalism, he's saying we have to engage in some measure of socialism, in his own words, just to make sure that the pitchforks, as he put it, don't come forth at the gates. And his point was simply that, if Starbucks employees cannot even afford to buy Starbucks coffee, then we're going to see a situation increasingly quickly where rebellion is going to be on hand. So what he was saying, to protect his class, there has to be some measure of redistribution and planned redistribution of the $18 trillion GDP that we all help contribute to every year in this country.
Thank you.
This is what I see the Democratic Party really pushing for, and I would encourage us to really tap back into some radical organizational practices to make any of these efforts realizable.
Thank you. Thank you, both of our guests, Jared Ball, Professor of Communication Studies at Morgan State University, and Gloria Brown Marshall, Associate Professor of Constitutional Law at John Jay College of Criminal Justice in New York City. I have to say, Jared's genius is demonstrated by his imixwhatilike.org. He's got a podcast now, Academics in Cars. Smart guy. Thank you both for being, and we hope to have you both back on soon.
Anytime.
Thank you.